father cruel and a stepdame false. A foolish suitor to a wedded lady that hath her husband banished. Oh, that husband. My supreme crown of grief. And the repeated vexations of it. Had I been thief stolen, as my two brothers happy? Most miserable is the desire that's glorious. Blessed be those how mean soe'er that have their honest wills, which seasons comfort. Who may this be? Father!
Madam, a noble gentleman of Rome comes from my lord with letters.
Change you, madam. The worthy Leonatus is in safety and greets your highness dearly.
Thank you, sir. You're kindly welcome. He is one of the noblest note to whose kindnesses I am most infinitely tied. Reflect upon him accordingly as you value your trust. Leonatus. So far I read aloud, but even the very middle of my heart is warmed by the rest. Takes it thankfully. You are as welcome, worthy sir, as I have words to bid you, and shall find it so in all that I can do.
Thanks. Tell us, lady.
What? Are men mad? Hath nature given them eyes to see this vaulted arch and the rich crop of sea and land, which can distinguish twixt the fiery orbs above and the twin stones upon the numbered peach? And can we not partition, make with spectacles so precious twixt fair and foul?
What makes your admiration?
It cannot be the eye, for apes and monkeys twixt two such cheese would chatter this way and contend with mouths the other. Nor is the judgment, for idiots in this case of favor would be wisely definite. Nor is the appetite for sluttery to such neat excellence, suppose, should make desire vomit emptiness not so allured to feed.
What's the matter, child?
The cloyed will that satiate yet unsatisfied desire, that tub, both filled and running, ravening first the lamb longs after for the garbage.
The tub, sir, thus wraps you. Are you well?
Thanks, madam, well. Beseech you, sir. Desire my man's abode where I did leave him. He's strange and peevish.
I was going, sir, to give him welcome.
Continues well, my lord. His health, I beseech you.
Well, madam.
Is he disposed to mirth? I hope that he is.
Exceeding pleasant. None a stranger there, so merry and so gamesome. He is called the Briton Reveller.
When he was here, he did incline to sadness. And oft times not knowing why.
I never saw him sad. There is a Frenchman, his companion. One, an eminent monsieur, that it seems much loves a galleon girl at home. He furnishes six sighs from him. Whilst the jolly Briton, your lord, I mean, laughs from three lungs, cries, oh, can my sides hold to think that man, who knows, by history, report, or his own proof, what woman is? Yea, what she cannot choose, but must be. Will's free hours languish for assured bondage.
Who my lord say, sir?
Aye, madam, with his eyes in flood with laughter. It's a recreation to be by and hear him mock Frenchmen, but heaven knows some men are much to blame.
Not he, I hope.
Not he. But if heaven's bounty toward him might be used more thankfully, in himself tis much, in you, which I account his beyond all talents. And whilst I am bound to wonder, I am bound to pity too.
What do you pity, sir?
Two creatures heartily.
Am I one, sir? You look on me. What rack discern you in me deserves your pity?
Lamentable. What? To hide me from the radiant sun and solace of a dungeon by a snuff.
I pray you, sir, deliver with more openness your answers to my demands. Why do you pity me?
That others do. I was about to say, enjoy your...
It's an office of the gods to venge it. It's not mine to speak on.
You seem to know something of me, or what concerns me, I pray you. Since doubting things go ill often hurts more than to be sure they do. For certainties are either past remedies, or else timely known the remedy then born. Discover to me what both you spurn. Stop!
Had I this cheek to bathe my lips upon, this hand, whose touch, whose every touch would force the fever's soul to the oath of loyalty, this
object which takes prisoner the wild motion of mine eye, fixing it only here. Oh, should I, damn then, slaver with lips as common as the stairs that mount the Capitol, join gripes with hands made hard with hourly falsehood, falsehood as with labor, then by peeping in an eye base and illustrious as the smoky light that's fed with stinking tallow, it were fit that all the plagues of hell should at one time encounter such revolt.
My lord, I fear, hath forgot.
And himself.
Not I, inclined to this intelligence, pronounce the beggary of his change. It is your graces that from my mutest conscience to my tongue charms this report out.
Oh, let me hear no more.
Oh, dearest soul, your cause doth strike my heart with pity that doth make me sick. A lady so fair and fastened to an emperor would make the greatest king double. To be partnered with tomboys, hired with a self-exhibition which your own coffers yield, with diseased ventures that play with all infirmities for gold, which rottenness can lend nature such boiled stuff, as well might poison. Be revenged. Or she that bore you was no queen, and you recoil from your great stock.
Revenged? How should I be revenged? If this be true, as I have such a heart as both mine ears must not in haste abuse. If this be true, how should I be revenged?
Should he make me live like Diana's priest betwixt cold sheets, whilst he is vaulting variable ramps in your despite? Upon your purse? Revenge it. I dedicate myself to your sweet pleasure. Oh, more noble than that runagate to your bed. And I will continue fast to your affection, still close as sure. Oh, let my service tender on your lips.
Why? I do condemn mine ears that have so long attended thee. If thou wert honorable, thou shouldst have told this tale for virtue, not for such an end thou seekest as base, as strange. Thou wrongst a gentleman who is as far from thy report as thou from honor, and solicits here a lady who disdains both thee and the devil alike. What help is any hope? The king, my father, shall be made acquainted of thy assault. Did he think it fit a saucy stranger in his court to mart as in a Romish stew? And to expound his beastly mind to us, he hath a courted little care for and a daughter who he respects not. What
happy Leonatus! I may say the credit thy lady hath of thee deserves thy trust and thy most perfect goodness, her assured credit. Blessed live you long!
A lady to the most worthiest, sir, that ever country called his, and you his mistress, only for the most worthiest fit. Give me your pardon. I have spoke this to know if your affiance were deeply rooted, and shall make your lord that which he is new o'er. And he is one the truest mannered, such a holy witch that he enchants societies into him. Half of men's hearts are his.
Nicomet.
Oh, he sits amongst men like a descended god. He hath a kind of honor sets him off, more than a mortal seeming. Be not angry, most mighty princess, that I have adventured to try your taking of a false report, which hath honored with confirmation your great judgment in the election of a sir so rare, which you know cannot err. The love I bear him made me to fan you thus, but the gods have made you unlike all others, chaffers. Pray your pardon.
Also, sir, take my power at the court to be yours.
My humble thanks. I had almost forgot to entreat your grace, but in a small request, and yet of a moment too. For it concerns your lord, myself, and other friends of partners in the business.
Oh, pray, what is it?
Some dozen Romans of us and your lord, the best feather in our wing, have mingled sums to buy a present for the emperor, which I, the factor, for the rest have done in France. 'Tis plate of rare device, and jewel of rich and exquisite form. Their value's great, and I am something curious, being strange to have them in safe stowage. May it please you to take them in protection?
Willingly, sir, and pawn mine honor for their safety, since my lord hath interest in them. I will keep them in my bedchamber.
They are in a trunk attended by my men. I will make bold to have them sent to you for this night, for I must abroad tomorrow.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, yes, I must, or I shall short my word by lengthening my return. From Gallia I cross the sea on purpose and on promise to see your grace.
I thank you for your pains.